so many before me. I know the highway is the truth. With every mile there's a story. And never running out of road till the good Lord leads me home.
Good morning, and welcome to Connections Radio Show, where we talk about ideas that matter. I'm glad you've made the connection and are with us today. I'm Lori Fitz, and the goal of our show is to explore a wide range of topics that challenge us to see ourselves, our community, and the world around us in ways that get us thinking, get us talking, get us imagining, get us connected, and perhaps inspired or challenged to do just a bit more because we've made the connection. Our topic today is one of our favorites. It's the power of music in creating connections. I'll be supporting Rick Bernardo today. He'll be taking the lead with our guest, Mark Warple. Mark joined us a few weeks ago to share about Rock the Cause's new release of the Ricky Medlock Band's Never Run Out of Road, with a portion of the donations going to benefit the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center, NIWRC. And in order to, if you would like to support that cause, and we heard a little bit about how important it is to be thinking about it in terms of supporting Indigenous women, you can go to the rickymedlock.com website, and that's RICKEYMEDLOCKE, Ricky Medlock. And you can buy the song, and a portion will be going to the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center, as well as you can give an additional donation. Mark produced that song, has worked with Ricky over the years. He's a musician, music producer, and teacher, online and in-person music lessons. He also does music productions. He's down in Red Wing, and I'm so excited that our friend Rick Bernardo will be leading the discussion today with Rick. With our friend Mark.
Hi, Mark. And so, by the way, that was Never Run Out of Road that we just heard at the very top before Lori and I started talking and before we visit with Mark. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. I'm actually sitting in the studio space where right there, Ricky sang the lead vocals for that song.
Oh, wow. So and I just made it out a couple of weeks ago. Was it the 1st of March or the 2nd of March?
First.
That evening at Medina Entertainment Center. I've never been there. It was hard to get tickets to the last, like, it wasn't the last minute, but if I had waited, I wouldn't have gotten tickets. So that was wonderful. Introduced by Black Oak, Arkansas, and then Ricky Medlock Band came out, and I just loved hearing that song live too.
It was an incredible night for about, a couple years worth of work. It was 2 years ago that I flew down and sat with Ricky and started talking ideas and just developing things as they came. And that was a product of 2 years worth of work. And that last week was nonstop, even being with you guys, interviews, nonstop. Logistics. It was just incredible. And then the crowd was phenomenal. We have so many, with my own band, Them Pesky Kids, we have so many great people that come out to see us all the time. And it was really nice to see them there, to see us in that element. And then have Ricky be a part of that and see all our family and friends involved too. So it was just a great night. I'm glad that you could be there.
Yeah, it was a blast. And by the way, Mark just mentioned Them Pesky Kids. That's his band. So just thempeskykids.com. It's not Those Pesky Kids. It's them. Okay, so that's a way to remember it. And his website, by the way, Mark Warple Music. Just search for that online, and you'll find Mark. W-O-E-R is the war part of Warple. All right, W-O-E.
I have just a quick question that I'm going to sneak in. I know that you shared a little bit at our last show together about how you and Ricky go way back. If you just want to revisit that just a little bit and give the audience that missed that chance to hear about the long history you two have together and a little bit about Ricky too.
Yeah, I was even thinking about it again this morning because of all this. but it was 1984. It's you know, you talk about the show being about music, or, you know, connections, or music and connections. It was the idea of going up through the ranks of playing music, meeting another guy. And I just so happened to have landed working with a drummer from a band called Axe, and he was managed by the same manager as Ricky. So that's how I met Ricky, was through basically the idea of networking, you know, working in the crowd that I wanted to be in, as far as the talent level, the music style, you know, at the time. So I walked up with Teddy, his name was, the drummer from Axe, to a concert that Ricky was playing. I believe he was playing with Rat that night. It was 1984, and then Ricky came out of that bus and just ran up and jumped and hugged Teddy, and I thought, this guy's just crazy and happy, you know. So from then on, and that was 1984. By 1986, I was recording with Ricky in Detroit for an album on Atlantic Records, and it was the first song on the album is called Back in the Streets Again. And I'm singing, I'm the voice in the chorus. The first thing you hear in the chorus is me. And it was just amazing that he let me do that. He had me be a part of things right away. The day I landed over in Detroit, he asked the manager if I could jam with the band. But at the time, I had my own music going on. That was actually a band called Warp Drive. So me and Ricky started just spending time together constantly, musically, and we'd go fishing too. That was the other thing that we would do. You know, so it was just kind of this connection, which was strange because I'm so far north. I even talk like a Canadian. I'm from the UP, Upper Michigan, and then he's from as far south as you can get, you know, down in Florida. And for us to connect, and then to have traveled the whole world, played every state in the United States, played Europe 5 times, to have our music all over the world together, it's hard for me to remember that, because I just think of him as a brother that we work on things. We sit down, we just talk. We don't look at each other in any other way. We just get to work, or we get to having fun. It's been a great connection for me. And then, of course, that leads to more networking. All the people I've met through all those shows, it's just incredible, you know, just incredible.
Did you ever work with him with Blackfoot?
That was the 5 years that I toured with him. Yeah, we toured with him. I toured with him. That's what ended up happening was Warp Drive was the 80s rock music that I did. I'm proud of that music. That's out. Also, everybody can find that on YouTube. And I need to get it back up on Spotify and all that. But grunge came in 1992, and we were just about to sign a deal with EMI for the Warp Drive stuff. But everybody was afraid to sign anything else but needed to sound like Eddie Vedder singing, you know.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So it was a real strange time. It was almost like a recession in rock, in 80s rock music or something, if you want to think of it that way. But it was a big change. Everybody knew things were changing. Nirvana, there's a magazine. It was a rock magazine. I can't remember the name of the magazine, but rock magazines were a big deal.
Yeah.
And on the front cover is Nirvana, and on the back cover is a full page picture of me.
Awesome.
Kind of a neat exit of what was going on at the time.
back cover meaning the exit.
This is walking in the room backwards.
Right. So then my manager called me up, said, he goes, why don't you, you know, jump on the road to Ricky? And a guitar player named Neil Casale was leaving Ricky at the time. They had done an album. Neil Casale went on to play with Willie Nelson and the Black Crowes, and a phenomenal guitar player. So we'd all worked together so much. It was just that I just jumped in. I did one rehearsal with them, and we played downtown Cleveland for about 10,000 people the next night, you know. So and then it was just awesome time for me. I was constantly on, you know, you had to carry around a video camera, not your phone.
Wow.
So I was constantly getting up every morning and walking around. Didn't have Google Maps, you know, so in Europe, I'd get up no matter what town we were. We played Rome, we played, you know, Barcelona. I have incredible videos of the times with the guys in the band, with the rides, the all that kind of stuff. So the, and then recording the music and writing music was the big part of that. We recorded that album down in Florida. But just phenomenal time. I ended up writing the title song of the album, After the Rain.
I was going to say, Mark, yeah, that we're going to feature that next segment, yeah, right, is the song After the Rain by Blackfoot. So we'll just to tease that. Yeah. Yeah.
So Blackfoot was it was called Blackfoot when I was in it. When we recorded the album for Atlantic Records, it was Ricky Medlock and Blackfoot. Okay. So then those ties is a huge networking part of my life, which got to work with producers that were phenomenal. I can't remember his name. He had worked with the band Yes, and then, you know, the other people that we worked with were all people that went on to do great things. So it was a great learning time.
And Mark, can we hear a little bit more of the Never Run Out of Road? We're going to, as we go to the next segment.
Yeah.
All right. So let's listen a little more to Never Run Out of Road, Ricky Medlock Band. And then we'll be back with After the Rain.
Like so many before me, I know the highway is the truth. With every mile, there's a story, and never running out of road till the good Lord leads me home.
Radio show where we talk about ideas that matter. I'm Maury Fitz. Rick Bernardo has invited a wonderful guest today, and our topic today is on the power of music in creating, and I'm going to add celebrating connections. Rick, introduce our great guest that we have today.
This is Mark Werpel, W-O-E-R-P-E-L is his last name, so you can search for Mark Werpel Music. He is a music educator, a producer and performer, and that was a song featuring him with Blackfoot called After the Rain, R-E-I-G-N, and there's a theme in there that is fairly, how can I put it, trying to get over colonialism, basically, is what it is. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, yes. Yeah, Rick, you could do some of those reaction videos because your head started bopping right there on your... Seen the song.
I was going to mention that too. It's nice to have a musician in the house that's able to do a great interview with you today. It's nice to see him rocking out with your music.
Oh, it's awesome. I said on our last February 24th broadcast that I started listening to Never Run Out of Road here and there, and all of a sudden I was just like, it's hard for me to stay in the seat driving my car. So it was just it's just fun. It's fun stuff. All music, yeah, is. So so Mark, I meant to ask before, what got you into music in the first place?
Oh, family. You know, you're blessed, or I'm blessed with the family and friends that I've been able to be around in my life. And, you know, it goes back to my grandparents. So, and the ones before them, I'm pretty German on both sides, and music is a big deal in German families and in the church and the, you know, the Lutheran church. And, so constantly singing, both of my grandfathers, my grandfather on one side was an organ player. And so every time I'd go to his house, I'm 2 years old, I'm playing that organ, and I have the organ in my house now. And then on the other side was my mother's dad, and he was born in 1898, and he was in World War I. His brother was gassed at the front, you know.
Oh,
but they were as young boys, so now you picture them living in upper Wisconsin, you know, three boys. There was an accordion in their dad's closet that the dad didn't want the boys to play with, and they would sneak it out when dad went to work, and the three boys learned how to play accordion. So all three of those boys played accordion. So I grew up early on playing guitar with that grandfather. And when I was in third grade, I'd play guitar, he'd play accordion. We played for weddings, polkas, polkas were huge in German family weddings. And then my dad was the church choir director. So then we were always involved in church music. Directly came from family. Music was around us with the instruments in the house. I remember I was in third grade when my dad came home with the guitar. Before that, it was a music teacher that got me severely involved with the ukulele. So because that music teacher had ukuleles in the class, that's why I started playing one, you know, because of him, Mr. Kaperi. Wow. And then me and my two buddies started a ukulele band in third grade, and we'd go over to the friend's house.
Third grade. You know,
play D, C, and G for 5 hours at a time. And
that's
then
trouble right there.
Yeah. And then there was a guitar way up high on the shelf in the music room, and Mr. Kaperi brought it down when I was in fourth grade, and he let me play that thing. And I was able to take it home for a weekend, and I broke a string, and I was horrified. And so then my dad helped me go fix the string. And then the next day he came home from Milwaukee, a pawn shop, and he was carrying a guitar in a green garbage bag. And I was running circles around him in the driveway. That guitar was for the family, but guess who played it all the time?
Oh,
it was me. So that's awesome. That's the start, yeah.
Speaking of accordion, I got to mention, my dad played accordion in high school, and this is in Connecticut, Italian heritage. And so he was doing weddings and all kind of things, including with Mr. Porcaro as a teenager in high school in Hartford, Connecticut. That's the father of the Porcaros from Toto.
Wow.
And, who eventually moved, grew up and moved his family to LA. So anyways, accordion rings all kinds of bells for me.
I have two, and I just recorded accordion parts for a ladies. It was writing a really nice song. So I did accordion parts this last Wednesday. It's great, you know, and then I'll be playing loud guitar tonight, you know, so yeah.
I want to see fourth graders create the band, the second generation of the ukulele group.
Yeah, that would be good, yeah.
And by the way, so tonight, is it Them Pesky Kids?
Yep, Them Pesky Kids, yep.
At tonight. Bogart's in Apple Valley. Just BogartsEntertainmentCenter.com. You can find out exactly where to go for that. Is it later at night? Is it like what time?
It's actually earlier there. I think 8 to 11:30. We'll do two shows, and then it's a benefit for military families and
right. 76 writers benefit. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Awesome. They have a nice raffle auction, silent auction there. Incredible stuff. Pieces brought in by military. It's always a great night for that.
Well, why don't we?
I also want to mention we go to our next song that you do instruction. You do music teaching both virtually as well as live down in Red Wing. So for Minnesota folks that would like to take lessons, I will be getting lessons from my husband. He loves music. So we at least get one good sign up out of our show today. And I want to make sure folks know
that
it would be. Yeah, there we go. We've got a connection right on the show. He's going to love it. He doesn't know it. He'll find out when he.
Don't tell.
Well, he's going to pick me up with my, as some of you may see, if you're watching the Zoom, I've got a broken shoulder. So I'm being escorted these days, but as part of his, thank you for driving me everywhere that he does. I want to get him some lessons from you.
All right.
That'd be great. That'd be
Thanks.
Great.
Mark Werpel Music. Just search for that. W-O-R-E-R is the war part of Werpel. Yes. Search for that online. There's all kinds of connections there. This is a little more of After the Rain, and we'll listen to this and investigate more when we come back.
Back to Connections Radio Show, where we talk about ideas that matter, and sometimes we listen to things that matter. Beautiful music. I was totally caught up in the beauty of that song. Welcome back. As I mentioned, I'm Lori Fitz, and our topic today is the power of music in creating and celebrating our connections. And I'm supporting Rick Bernardo, who has invited Mark Werpel to be our guest today.
And she's supporting me. I'm supporting Mark. Mark's supporting us. This is Mark Werpel. Werpel, the war part is spelled W-O-E-R-P-E-L. And search for Mark Werpel Music. He is an educator, a producer, a performer. And I've got infinitely more questions to ask him. But that
and,
was
and thempeskykids.com.
Thempeskykids.com is the band, one of many he's working with. I stopped counting. That was a song, Lost Creek, with him on flute and guitar. I think so. Mark, can you correct me or set us straight on what was behind that song?
Yep, those are my musical creations. Really important part of the music that I do. Uh-huh. And you know, I grew up playing the rock, but then I was introduced to music like Joni Mitchell and Pat Metheny was in the band at the time, and so I was introduced to jazz through, again, connections of the music community in my small town, a great music town of Escanaba, Michigan, Upper Michigan. Through that, I was just, for a rock musician to go in that direction is just something totally different. But by being introduced to that music, that's where that kind of comes from. That guitar playing, I ended up studying at the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music, and it was 4 years of solid jazz and improv. We had one class where we played music for 2 hours, and it was one song.
So,
So a lot of that music that I hear comes from that side of what I listen to. That guitar playing, Michael Hedges was one of my influences early on, Pat Metheny. Oh, wow. So it comes from that style. So then I'm really excited when I get to do that kind of music. That actually is for TV publishing through In the Groove Music. That's out of Minneapolis, in LA. So it's just awesome for me to be able to put that together. So it's not just straight Native American flute. I do have some recordings of that. I need to get those back up and out on Spotify and everywhere. Right now it's in the music publishing house, but I'll mix what I hear in my head. I grew up going to powwows through my family. And that was through my dad. I would hear the powwow music. I actually would do drumming in the powwows, and then I would hear the music while I'm drumming, you know. So it's just that connection again through rock music, through the drums, through the dance, through the melodies of the powwow songs is where I come up with my melodies for the flute. So yeah. it's kind of this, it's not just this basic, well, I'm gonna play a flute part or I'm gonna play a guitar part. It really goes back to all those influences that you had, that I had, and then having a combination that I decide works or anybody else decide works or not, you know, but it's what I hear. So it's a combination of me growing up, going to the powwows, being a part of those songs. At the drum, you sing those songs. And then the flute lends itself to those melodies well. And then it pairs up nicely with piano and guitar. You know, there was a time that when Dances with Wolves came out, Peter Buffett was the music producer. That created quite a long fad of Native American music being fused with what you might call, I don't know, modern age or whatever that was at the time. And so it was kind of a big part of, you know, me creating that music. So I have several albums of that kind of music that I put out with that. Yep.
Well, that song for our previous segment, After the Rain, that we heard, which is more rockish with Blackfoot, and this song, the way more acoustic, Lost yeah. Creek, they both share the Native American sort of cultural theme in different ways. The After the Rain, I meant to ask you before, that one sounds really like how are we ever going to get over being colonized kind of a theme. But we didn't talk about that. But how did that song come about?
That's it was through Ricky. I remember writing the music. I was actually we were riding in the bus and Ricky was sitting in front of me and I'm sitting there playing guitar behind him. And I was coming up with that riff. That was that. Whatever, you know, that part right there. And he turned around, he goes, "What's that?" You know, and what I was actually trying to do was create a music production song, what I call a music production song, not just a, you know, a blues riff or a rock riff, songs that have multi sections to them. So that's how that started, with creating the music for him. And then from there, we sat down, he heard in his mind, he'll do that. All of a sudden he goes, "After the Rain." He come up with that title, and yeah. From there we developed the lyrics behind that. We also wrote lyrics at that time with the drummer Benny Rappa, who was a phenomenal musician.
I saw that name. Yeah.
No longer with us, yeah. But so then that was Ricky's. It's always in him to be a part of that, to recognize that part of his heritage, and to raise awareness. That's the big term, you know, especially this with the NIWRC. So that happened in After the Rain at the time. I was really excited that it became the title.
Just want to mention for those that just joined, who might not know who Ricky that we're talking about, yeah. That we've been
Ricky Medlock
with the Lynyrd Skynyrd Band, and then Blackfoot, your work with him and Blackfoot. So amazing. Yeah. Background yeah. story on that.
We had yeah. him on in February. Yeah.
Yeah. So then that After the Rain, it was just phenomenal. It became the title track, you know, because we worked very hard on all 10 songs. We start with 20 some. And then for that to become the title track, what I'm really proud of on that, besides the awareness, is the fact that Ricky Medlock plays the first lead. Zach Wild came in from Ozzy Osbourne and played the second lead. And I'm playing the third lead on that exact song. So it's just a phenomenal you know, thing for
that
me.
That must have been very special for you.
Beautiful triad.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you want, now you just shared a little acoustic guitar. We have more flute in Lost Creek. We're going to play here pretty soon, but you want to do just a little segment so people can just see and hear a little more of the flute.
So
Native American flute.
Yeah. And this is a family tie, the connections there. It's funny that it goes back to music, but, my dad, basically his best friend in his life, was Wally Blank. Yeah, Wally is still with us. Wally Blank. I would say Blank, but it's Blank. And then so he became, he's like my uncle, and my dad was an uncle to his kids. We grew up doing, you know, there's this whole story there too, where my dad was got interested in Native American culture through scouts in the 50s. But he started going to actual powwows. My family started doing programs, you know, the German family out there doing programs, raising awareness for Native American culture in Upper Michigan. Wally Blank's family was doing the exact same thing. Their family was half Swedish, half Native American. We ended up teaming up together, doing programs together. That's how close we became. That was in the 70s. And that turned into my dad having Knock Bay Trading Company, which is one of the second largest place in the world to buy Native American products for making clothing. Wally went, he's an incredible craftsman. He went and bought a flute and tore it apart to see how it was made. And then he started making flutes. So then he handed me a flute at my sister's wedding in 1994. I was traveling with Blackfoot at the time. So I would a lot of times meet up with them by renting a car and driving across the country. Cause I was from the North. And that's how I learned how to play flute. I would be driving in the car and I had my knee on the wheel and I had this going for about driving down the highway. So if anybody was passing me, I'm sure they thought I was smoking something, but I was actually playing Native American. So that's how I ended up getting into that. Every time I would see Wally after that, he would hand me another flute. So I have about 12 flutes made by him. I have flutes made by other people that would give them to me. This one is my favorite. It's a loon flute. It's a large flute. Wally's flutes are made by hand, so they're tuned. He uses his thumb to make the hole sizes. Yeah. It's things like that are just incredible. But I would play through them, and then he would end up giving me these flutes every time I would see him at the different powwows or the gatherings. But just incredible sound. So,
thank you.
I ended up working with Peter Buffett, did a music on the Ojibwe Nation. It was a PBS special, multi PBS specials for Native American artists. My music is used in, and the flute music, and then even Pennsylvania Eagle Restoration used my music in their stuff too. So it's just been this thing that follows me around. I do it for that reason, and I don't try to represent anything different other than the music I hear in my head from my experiences.
It's both haunting and beautiful and spiritual, and it takes you places. It's lovely.
And let's hear a little more from Lost Creek as we go to the next segment. But this is Mark Werpel, Werpel. Thank you.
Welcome back to Connections Radio Show, where we talk about ideas that matter. Our topic today is the power of music in creating and celebrating connections. I'm Laurie Fitz, and Rick Bernardo is leading our show today with his guest, Mark Warple.
Mark Warple is an educator, a performer, a producer, and we had him on our show in February with Ricky Medlock. We're talking more about the depth and breadth of music as a wonderful connection with people. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Yeah, it's nice to hear that song there, that song called The Will to Win.
I was going to say, Will to Win. Yeah. All of it grooves. All of it just goes. It's great. I was also thinking, for years, I've been sort of fascinated, and as most people are, and almost sometimes obsessed with what music can do for us. And I'm fond of a quote by jazz musician Joe Thomas, that music is prayer with wings. And I just saw this other reflection by Tom Petty, that music is probably the only real magic I have encountered in my life. There's no trick involved in it. It's pure. It's real. It heals. It moves. It communicates. It does all these incredible things. And then I just saw a reflection by James Taylor, that music reminds us that the universe loves us. So talking about connections, that one I've got to sit with and go, right. I guess. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I think that's true. I think that is the way that the
we come out of the affirms. Womb knowing music. We just, we do. It's amazing. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. With students, I find that amazing too. When I'd start with 5-year-olds. And then when you have a student that shows, I had a 7-year-old girl in last week, and she sat down to the drum set. She had been working on drums with another teacher, but she sat down, 7-year-old, and she just started hit. The other teacher didn't allow the drums to be loud. They put the pads on. In my studio, they're wide open drums. And she's like, these are loud. And she just started beating on them and playing a perfect rock beat with her, you know, just going. And I had the mother filming her and stuff like that. So when you see that, you know, there'll be plenty of adults that can never do that. So it's not so much, you know, it's amazing, magical thing. Yeah. When, you know, this happens in young kids too. Yeah. Even in adults.
And I do want to mention, you do teach. So if you are interested in getting a class with Mark, you can go to the Mark Warple Music. That's the best way to search for it. I'm signing up, and so encouraging others to as well.
Right.
Before I forget, you got a new piano teacher, Heidi. How do you say her last name?
Heidi Heimer. Yep, Heidi Heimer, and she's. You can actually Google Halo Keys Music. Is what she's just starting up. She's moved into town. She called everybody in town, and I'm the one who answered her back. We had conversations on the concept of music. In the concept of teaching, my concept is more towards getting a person directly towards where they want to go, and not bogged down by mass. It's just I get really frustrated with regular piano lessons or regular studies, where really when a person wants to play, they want to play the music that they're hearing. So kind of it's a short version of what my concept is, but we had the same concepts because she grew up with a grandmother and a mother as a piano teacher. And then she started hearing her own songs and improvising. But you know, a lot of times that's not actually, you know, acted on in regular piano lessons. They're actually reading music lessons. That's where people get lost and that kind of thing. So anyway, we agreed on the concepts. A lot of the students end up being from the same family. You know, one kid wants to play piano, one kid wants to play guitar. We push all of our students into songwriting right from the start. And we have ways of doing that. That's fun and, you know, musical as far as a number system. It's all really exciting for me. Yeah. So Heidi Heimer is a new addition to Mark Warple Music down there, and it's located at the Anderson Center in Red Wing. As far as in person, beautiful spot in the artist community down there.
I gotta say, as a keyboardist, I've learned the most from just asking a teacher or somebody like you, how do I play this thing that I'm hearing?
Yep.
Because
exactly.
I can hear it, but I don't know how to do that, and that's where I learn. And sometimes I figure it out.
I just had a student come in. She just started, 19-year-old, and that was a connection through a carpenter that I knew. It was his daughter. She came in for guitar lessons, and then all of a sudden she showed me a video of her singing a song that she wrote, and it was just singing. There was no music because she didn't know how to play an instrument, and it was just a beautiful song. So the way we're approaching that is now I have the music studio in the teaching studio. So I'm able to record right away. I had her sing that whole song with just her voice. And now we're going to build and put guitar and piano parts around her voice part. And she was just amazed to hear that guitar come in with her voice. That sounds like what she's hearing in her head, you know. So I like moving those directions, the exact direction. But because I know in, you know, how I did it, I quit guitar lessons actually after 3 years. I remember riding in the car with my mom and said, I don't want to do this anymore. But the guy was flipping pages in a book and putting me through these reading exercises. Yeah. And then a year later, I'm in my friend's attic playing on his older brother's guitar and drums. And we played Smoke on the Water for 5 hours straight.
You know, I love it.
This is Mark Warple. And Mark, we've got about another minute here. Do you want anything else?
We want to tell about the various places that them pesky kids are playing.
Yeah. Tonight at Bogart's in Apple Valley, Treasure Island on the 23rd in the Parlay Lounge.
Yep. And Treasure Island's been a mainstay for us. We've played a lot of New Year's Eves there. We've had people from Poison on stage with us there. We've had people from Foreigner on stage with us there. I also want to mention too, I heard the ad for Native Roots Radio and that you're going to be talking with Deb Holland. Ricky and Deb Holland are actually acquaintances, and Ricky sat right here at this spot, and I had a phone call with her talking about ideas for the awareness of the NIWRC. So,
fabulous. Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Warpel, Werpel is music. This is Wilder Wind.